Faith is so necessary. Are you listening to me? Developing our faith is so necessary. Well, now, how are you going to develop your faith on the subject of healing? Well, you're going to the Word. Because the Bible says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, I want you to open your Bibles today to the 15th chapter of Matthew. Matthew's Gospel, the 15th chapter. Praise God. Just notice here and begin reading with the 21st verse to get the full import of what's said here. Matthew 21, and we'll read down through verse 28. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. Now, actually, what they were saying was, just grant her request and send her away. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee, even as thy wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Hallelujah. Now I want you to notice that Jesus teaches us and tells us that healing is the children's bread. Isn't that what this woman came after? Wasn't it healing for her daughter that she came for? Didn't Jesus say, go thy way? Jesus say to her, I've not found so great faith, or the great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt, and her daughter was made whole. That same Greek word translated made whole is also translated elsewhere in the New Testament, healed. Her daughter was healed. Now notice what Jesus said. Jesus said that healing is the children's bread. Hallelujah. It is not meet, he said, to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. She said, Truth, Lord. You know, she wasn't going to be deterred about anything. Most folks would have quit right then. They'd already give up because he hadn't responded to her. She followed along behind him, crying and asking him, you know, to have mercy on us. He answered her not a word. Most folks would have given up. You have to have persistence. If you're going to receive from God, you have to set out to succeed, not to fail. Well, maybe I might get it. No, you won't. You might as well forget it now. Amen. And then when he called her a dog, that'd be enough then, sure enough, to turn her off, wouldn't it? Amen. Isn't that right? But that didn't deter her the least bit in the world. He said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and to give it to dogs. Cast it to dogs. She just signed right in with him. Praise God. Said, that's right. She said, Truth, Lord. Yeah, you told the truth. Amen. Yet the dogs eat the crumbs. Yeah. Now, here's an interesting fact. That it didn't take but just one crumb of this bread to heal her daughter. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Just a crumb did it. Just a crumb. But healing is the children's bread. I said, healing is the children's bread.
Amen.
Say it out loud.
Healing is the children's bread. bread.
Say it again.
Healing is the
children's bread. Say it again. Now say that to yourself until you convince yourself. Praise God. See, just because you read it, you know, say, well, I'm a child of God and I don't have it. Well, just keep saying it until it registers down here on the inside of you that healing is the children's bread. And once it registers down in here, you'll start believing it. And once you start believing it, you'll have it. Amen. Are you listening? Healing is the children's bread. Well, now, are you a child of God?
Yes.
Are you?
Yes.
Well, healing belongs to you then.
Amen.
Now, turn with me. You're familiar with it, of course. But turn with me to the 23rd Psalm. You know, we quote this, and a lot of times it's just words to us. But we need to recognize and realize something. These psalms, many of them, are prophetic. Or they're messianic. They refer to the coming Messiah. You can see, actually, in the 22nd psalm, Jesus going to Calvary. They made long their furrows in his back, and so on and so forth. That's already been fulfilled. Now, we're living in the 23rd Psalm right now. Then in the 24th Psalm, all these are Psalms of David, the 24th Psalm, you see Jesus as the coming King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The 22nd Psalm has been fulfilled. We're living in the 23rd Psalm right now. The 24th Psalm will be fulfilled when Jesus comes again. Now, see, the 23rd Psalm begins, "The Lord is my shepherd." Well, Jesus said, "I'm the good shepherd," didn't he? I said, didn't he?
Yes.
Is he still the good shepherd today?
Yes.
"Well, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." I think most folks read that, "The Lord is my shepherd, I'm full of want." But that's not the way it read, is that right? Amen, isn't that right? "I shall not want." Now, you see, David is prophesying really about the coming Messiah, Jesus. "The Lord is my shepherd." But you see, he is my shepherd. He said, "I am the good shepherd." I like to read it like this. "The Lord is my shepherd, I do not want." Present tense, glory to God, "I do not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Now, you see, that's not talking about physical death here. See, we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death in this life, where spiritual death, the devil, is reigning on every side. We're in the shadow of it, but don't bother us, glory to God. Are you listening to me? Because, you see, I will fear no evil. See, notice how he connects evil with the shadow of death. "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." See, that's not talking about when you die physically. That's talking about in this life, you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Spiritual death is reigning on every side. "But I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me." See, he said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Now get ready for it. Do you wear your shouting clothes? Notice that fifth verse. "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." Thou preparest a table before me. I wonder if he's got any bread on that table. Hallelujah. I know he has, because Jesus said healing's a children's bread.
Amen.
Well, somebody said, "I don't have it." Well, why don't you tell them to pass it to you?
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
It's there. Healing is the children's bread. Well, he's put the bread on the table. It's not his fault that you're not eating of it. Somebody said, "Well, why don't the Lord heal me? He's put the bread on the table. Why don't you eat it?" Why don't you partake of it? Why don't you receive it? It's there. Now I want you to notice something else. He prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. See where folks are missing it? They got their eyes on the enemy. Instead of looking at the table to see what's on the table. What do you care what's back there? Amen. You're seated at the table. Is sickness a friend or is it an enemy? Well, in the Old Testament, God said to Israel, you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and I'll take sickness away from the midst of thee. So if sickness is a friend, he had said, I'll separate you from your friends because you're obeying me. No. Sickness is an enemy. It's not a friend. It's an enemy of man. It's an enemy of God. And so that enemy of sickness is standing there. Oh, yeah, yes, yes. But see, that's where folks miss it. They got their eyes on the enemy. Get your eyes off of the enemy and on the table. Praise God, on the bread. See, they're there. We don't deny the existence. They're there. But you see, right in the presence, he prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Thou anointest my head with oil. See, I told you we're living in this 23rd Psalm. You see, when he begins to talk about oil and anointing us, he's talking about the Holy Ghost. Oil is a type of the Holy Ghost. He anoints the Holy Ghost and my cup runneth over. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, they're all filled with the Holy Ghost and begin to speak with other tongues. When your cup runs over, you start speaking in tongues. You get full of the oil of the Spirit. Now, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Now, you see, he'd already stated in that fourth verse, I wanted you to get this, that yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff comfort me. I want to point out to you that that's not physical death that he's talking about. Because he went on down here later and said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. See, I've already walked through the valley of the shadow of death, and yet I'm still living. Surely goodness and mercy. Surely goodness and mercy. And remember, the Lord is good, and his mercy endureth forever. The Lord is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Oh, my. Praise God. We've just quoted that. It's just been words. It didn't mean anything to us. But I'm going to emphasize that just at the moment, that thou preparest a table, that's present tense now, before me, in the presence of mine enemies. Now, like I said, does he have any bread on that table? Thank God he does. What is it? It's healing. Healing is the children's bread. That's what Jesus said over here, didn't he? Praise the Lord. Now then, let me call your attention to something else. Turn back with me to the New Testament now. Turn back with me to the New Testament, to the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter. And here's a very interesting story. We've heard one side of it, but let's get all of it. Amen. Let's start reading with the 11th verse. Jesus is speaking. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he'd spent all, there arose a great famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion. He had mercy. One definition of the dictionary to have compassion means to be full of mercy. Hallelujah. He had compassion or mercy and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Well, now we've heard the prodigal son preached, and that's good and well, but what about the other son? Jesus talks about him too, doesn't he?
Amen.
I said the story talks about the other son too, doesn't it?
Yep.
You can learn something from both of them, praise God. Now notice, just go on reading. Now his elder son was in the field. He's out working his father's field. In other words, we could say he's out working for God now. He's busy. Amen, isn't that right? And he came and drew nigh to the house and heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf because he has received him safe and sound. And he was angry, that elder brother. Reminds me of a lot of so-called Christians. Somebody else get blessed and they get mad about it.
Amen.
Amen. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet, thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, he wouldn't call him his brother. Amen, isn't that right? I'm trying to remind you of some folks, you know. Oh no, he wouldn't acknowledge his brother. But then this thy son was come, which hast devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he, the father, said unto the son, he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Hallelujah. Well, do you want to know what belongs to you? Somebody said, well, I don't know whether that's mine or not. Well, does God have it?
Yes.
If he has it, it's yours.
Amen.
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 I mean, if the prodigal son is a type of them that was lost, come back home, or backsliders come back home, who's this fellow type of? The father said, son, all I have is thine. Well, I hope God hears me. I don't know whether he'll give that to me or not. Well, just ask yourself the question, does he have it? If God has it, then it's yours. But see, we haven't heard that side preached. A lot of folks have been too busy on the other side. Like the lady said, I'll tell you, said, I believe that. I believe, you know, you know, where I go to church, said they teach backsliding, and said I practice it. Amen. Well, you really ought to practice what you believe. Somebody asked me one time, said, you know, knowing my former Baptist background, you believe in backsliding? I said, no, I believe in staying saved, living for God. Well, now, Now, you believe you can backslide? Oh, I said, yeah, but you don't have to.
Amen.
Amen. Are you listening?
Yes.
Fellow ought to practice what he believes, though. I don't believe in it. Amen. So I don't practice it. Well, we heard that other side preached, and thank God it should be preached, but to the Christians, and see, that's one place where we missed it in the church. We preached to Christians like they were sinners. Same message. It brought them under condemnation, it brought them under conviction, and see, and then they couldn't believe for anything. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. But now this man that's serving God, hallelujah, and that includes a backslider that's come back home too, because he was enjoying the blessings. All I have is thine. And then folks don't know where the healing is from or not. Does God have healing?
Yes.
You know, one of his names, one of the names of God is Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. So all you have to do is just simply ask yourself the question, does he have healing? Or if anything else? Son, all I have is thine. Now let's take a little side journey here and then we'll get back to healing. Say it out loud again. Healing is the children's bread.
Healing is the children's bread.
Say it again. Healing is what?
Children's
the children's bread. Well, thank God it is. But now then, what Jesus said here, that the Father said, includes healing. Doesn't it? It includes healing because he said, all that I have is thine. But now what else does he have? Well, of course, we know he has provided the new birth for us. Thank God. He has remission of sins for the sinner. He has forgiveness of sins for the Christian. Hallelujah. That's all on his table. Praise God. But now, he said, all I have is thine. What else does God have? Well, let's look at a few scriptures. Turn to the 50th Psalm. And let's just read. Look at that 10th verse. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills.
Amen. Praise God.
I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I'd not tell thee, for part of the world is mine.
Amen.
What?
The world.
The world is mine and the fullness thereof. Well, somebody said, I don't want any of this world's goods. See, they think the world's is the devil's. Because the devil became the god of this world. But now you see, you have to wait just a minute because you don't understand that if you just read the King James translation. And when it said Satan, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:4, is the god of this world. It means the world system. You see? Well, now the Bible said that we're in the world, but we're not of the world. He's not talking about what God's talking about here. What he's talking about is the world system. We're in the world, you see, but we're not of the world system. Praise God, we're in the kingdom of God. Are you listening to me? But you see, the devil slipped one over on folks. He said, you know, Christians ought not ever have anything. They ought to go through life with their nose to the grindstone and just sing, here I wander like a beggar through the heat and the cold. And Christians have believed that. They have believed that. Now look again in Haggai, the 2nd chapter and the 8th verse. And here the Lord said, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. Whose is it? Well, he said, all I have. The Father said, all I have is thine. See, our problem is we haven't put in our claim.
Amen.
We haven't put in our claim. I never will forget, you see, when You know, like I said, I was raised Southern Baptist. Some way or another, we had the same idea that other Christians had, you know, that if you're Christian, you ought not ever have anything. Just go through life poverty stricken and live on barely getting along street, way down at the end of the block next to Grumble Alley, and go through life with the soles of your shoes wore out, the seat of your britches wore out, and your cuffs all frayed, and that was a sign of humility. You know, a sign that you're humble. I heard some folks say one day about a preacher, now in modern time now, said he drove a 1936 Chevrolet. He is humble. Well, then why didn't he get him a donkey? Then he'd be more humble, wouldn't he? Wouldn't he? Yeah, I said he is humble because he drove a 1936 Chevrolet. He said, oh, I said, that's one of the most humble men I ever met. And I said to him, well, wonder why he don't get him a donkey. Then he'd be more humble riding a donkey than he would be driving a 36 Chevrolet. But you see, people, that's the way they're programmed to think. But God don't think like that. Well, I know in my own individual case, see, I'm still talking about what God has on the table. Are you listening to me? Healing's there, all right. Healing is the children's bread. But he don't just have bread on the table, does he? No. Over here he said, all, son, all I have is thine. Just ask yourself the question, does God have it? So I can remember in my own experience, you see, I never thought along that line. I just accepted what I heard. So many times young preachers do. And then repeat it, whether it's thoroughly scriptural or whether it isn't, you know. And then I was baptized with the Holy Ghost, spoke with other tongues, and came over among the Pentecostals. One preacher said to me, well, I don't want even my house. I don't want even own a home. I don't want anything of this world's goods. You know, it's without thinking, you just swallowed that hook, line, and sinker. Don't want anything of this world's goods. He didn't even want a home. Well, he lived in a house as a pastor while the parsonage was furnished to him. But then as an evangelist, he had to rent a home. You see, it cost him a lot of money. And actually, if he'd have bought it, his payments would have been a whole lot cheaper than it would be rent. And the rent was all gone. At least he'd been building up an equity, you see, and buying something. But no, I don't want to, you know. I don't want any of this world's goods. I said, well, to him, you know, I did. Some way or another, I just go along with it altogether. But, you know, mostly I guess I did. But anyway, I did say to him, well, why? Why don't you want a home? Well, I've seen people backslide, you know, over. And he mentioned somebody, you know, and they got a nice home and then backslid, quit going to church. Well, I said, that's no reason for you not to want a home. I've seen people backslide over clothes, but I'm not going to quit wearing clothes because somebody backslid. Hey, man, isn't that right? I've seen people backslide over eating, but I'm not going to quit eating just because some people backslid over it. See, that's foolish. But you see, that's what's defeated us is wrong thinking. Instead of thinking in line with God's word, you see. And so, you know, I believed in healing. And it seemed to be a virtually an easy matter for me to receive healing and walk in health. And our children came along, and I tell folks all the time, you know, we raised both children to be grown. All they ever cost us was $37.50.
Amen.
Medically speaking, $37.50. When the boy was born, doctor charged $25, and the girl was born charged 12 and a half. See, girls were just half much as boys. Because all you girls knew that. Now, I always have to straighten that one up, you know. We had a different doctor, and he gave resident pastors, he charged $25 too, and he gave us a 50% discount. So it just cost me $12.50. That's the entire cost, $12.50. I don't think you have a baby for that nowadays, can you? See, that sort of dates me, don't it? Amen. People after all are going to begin to think I'm old. But I'm not. I'm getting younger every day. Praise God. You know, he said, yeah, I'll renew your youth. Praise God. Well, because I saw healing. I saw healings on the table. I didn't take time to examine what else is on the table. Well, now I'm eating the bread all right, and we're walking in health. But, man, we're struggling financially. We're struggling financially. And in those days, I was pastor. And every church we pastored, we struggle financially. Because you see, I wasn't believing right. I wasn't thinking right. See, God blessed me in other areas, but we struggled. Now, we got through some way or another, but man, it was a struggle. You know, we finally got there, but barely. And so then after I left my last church and went out on the field, I'd been out there a solid year, 12 months, in field ministry, going from church to church, holding meetings, and I wore my car out and just sold it for junk. You couldn't sell it for anything else. Just sell it to the junkyard. Use the parts to help, you know, something, you know. Sell it for junk. And I just got enough out of it, you know, to pay the interest on notes that I had in different parts of the country. And then buy the kids a few school clothes and then light out a foot. And so I got concerned about it. I said, now, Lord, something not right here. I mean, you see, and he'd have told me before if I'd asked him. But that's our problem. We think we know, or else we're walking in half-truth, and we just go on without stopping to examine to see where the problem is and why things don't work. And so I began to fast and pray and say, now, Lord, you said in your word, I got hold of that verse over there, I'd heard it a lot of times, never had used it. Amen. See, I don't care what's in the Bible and what the Bible said. If you don't use it and put it into practice, it won't work for you. Just like this. You could have a can opener in your house, but if you don't ever use it, it won't be any cans open. Amen. Isn't that right? You could have a car in your garage, a Cadillac. But if you don't ever use it, if you don't ever open the garage door, it'll just sit there. So no matter what's in the Bible or what the Bible says is yours, or what's on the table that God's provided, or what God has, you see, if you don't act upon it, it'll never become yours. So I got a hold of this verse. I'd heard it quoted, but I never had used it. I never had acted upon it. Where God said there in the Old Testament, and I knew he didn't change. He's the same God now as he was then. If you'll be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. Amen. Amen. The good of the land. Eat the good of the land. Well, now you see, that expression just simply doesn't mean that you'll just eat good, but that means also you'll live well. We use the same expression. If you're going to eat the good of the land, that means that you're going to eat the best, wear the best, drive the best, live in the best. But you see, he said if you be willing and obedient. And so I said, now, Lord, I obeyed you. See, I'm all tied up on obedience, and that's right, too. I left my church. You know, I really didn't want to leave. I was doing fine financially. Best parsonage we ever lived in. Most comfortable. Most money I'd ever gotten. We were wearing good clothes. We were eating good. We were doing well. You said go out on the field. I went. Now, here I am without a car. My clothes are wore out. My children are suffering. We're not adequately cared for. You said if you'd be willing and obedient, I obeyed you. I obeyed you. And about the third day of my fast, you know, preaching every night and then fasting, praying, then the Lord said to me, just like he talks to everybody down there, he's in here, you know.
Amen.
Did you notice that that verse also said willing as well as obedient?
Yes. Amen.
And I said, you did, you see, what I told you to do, all right. You obeyed me, but you really weren't willing to do it. I got me located, you know. Boy, I know it don't take long. I want you to know I just made a little adjustment right down in here in my spirit. It didn't take me 10 seconds to get willing. Because, you see, he already said you're obedient. Now, if you get willing, you qualify then. Glory to God. It didn't take me 10 seconds. I just made a little adjustment right down here in my spirit. I said, now, Lord, I'm willing. I know I'm willing. You know I'm willing. The devil knows I'm willing. Now I'm ready to eat the good of the land. I never have, but I'm ready now to. Well, now, of course, the Lord realized that he had to change my thinking first. Because, see, my mind had been infused with religious teaching and men's ideas, which we thought were scriptural. Without examining the Bible, just swallowed it, hook, line, and sinker. So he knew he had to correct my thinking first before I would be able to really believe and enter in. So he said to me, Go back to the book of beginnings. Well, I knew he's talking about the book of Genesis. That's what it is. It's the book of beginnings. And that's what Genesis means. Go back to the book of beginnings. He said, I made man. And when I said man, I mean both male and female. And I made the world and the fullness thereof. And I gave my man dominion over all the works of my hands. And Adam, so to speak, and I never saw this before. It came by revelation to me. I never read it out of a book or anything. I got it in here. Adam became the God of this world. In other words, he run the world. He said, for whom do you think I put all the silver and the gold and all the cattle of 1,000 hills and all here for? The devil and his crowd? Well, I said, it seemed like the devil and his bunch has most of it. Doesn't it? I said, doesn't it?
Yes.
So I just answered him, said that. I said, it seemed like the devil and his crowd. No, he said, I didn't put him here for the devil and his crowd. I put it here for my man Adam, my man. But then Adam committed high treason. And he sold out to Satan. And you see, Satan then took over Adam's lease on the earth, and until that lease runs out, he's here. And then Paul calls him the God of this world. No, it's not me, he said, that's withholding. See, if you're not careful, you blame God. My children are not adequately fed. My children are not adequately clothed. How come? It's not me that's withholding from you. Because it's all there, and it's all yours. Because what's mine is yours. Cattle of 1,000 hills are mine. You say, well, Lord, that belongs to you. Well, he said, don't belong to me because I created it. I gave it to Adam then. The silver and the gold's mine. He said, it's not in my hand, my possession. It's mine because I created it, but I didn't put it there for the devil and his crowd. But you see, the church has been so religiously brainwashed, and the devil purposely did it, you see. Because the devil don't want God's people to have anything. Man, if they've got something, they're going to spread the gospel. They're going to send missionaries around the world. See? But you know, you could want to put a neon sign out front. Oh, just wasting God's money. But the devil, you know, buy the biggest sign put out in front of the honky-tonk or the nightclub, you know, and dress it up, and isn't that wonderful? Well, the devil's got it. We're going to get it sometime. But right now, not much you can do about it. Thank God there is.
Amen.
I said, thank God there is.
Amen.
Now, the Lord told me, and it'll work for you too. He didn't just single me out, how to get it. See, when you know how, you can get there. What does he have on the table? Well, he's got bread there, but thank God there's more than bread on the table. Amen. Isn't that right? And so, the Lord said to me in my spirit, no, I put that there on this earth for my people, and my people are to have it. But the devil stole it away from them. Now, he said, it's not me that's withholding from you. And he said, I'm not going to rain any money down from heaven on you. Because you see, if he rained money down, $100 bills, he said, I'm not going to just rain any down from heaven, because if I did, they'd be counterfeit. And I'm not a counterfeiter.
Amen.
See, he's not going to go to counterfeiting money. Then I saw something I never noticed before. Did you ever notice there where Jesus said in Luke 6:38, give, and it'll be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall
men.
It's down here. It's down here. Give into your bosom. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. No, he said it's all down there. That's where it is. Now then, you claim. Now here's what he said. And I had to start out, you see, on the bottom. He said, you claim whatever you need or whatever you want. He used both terms. First, whatever you need. That's where you'll have to start, really. You claim whatever you need or whatever you want. Claim it. Claim it.
Amen.
Amen. Claim it. And then said, you say, I said to him, how you do that? Isn't that strange? Been preaching, you know, 16 years and didn't know how to practice the Bible. That's the reason I can feel such compassion with a lot of other folks that oppose themselves. I don't believe in that prosperity bit. Bless their hearts. You know, you just really feel sorry for them. One good friend of mine, pastor, I was holding a meeting. I was preaching right in his church, you know, you pay tithes, give offerings, sow seed, believe God, he'll bless you, prosper you. Well, all that's scriptural, isn't it? I mean, that same pastor himself been preaching that for years. The Lord said, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes. Amen. Bring all your tithes into the storehouse and see if I'll not open up the windows of heaven and give you a crumb occasionally. Well, at least you'll be able to crawl by anyway. No. Pour you out a blessing, is be hardly room enough to contain it. Amen. Fellow been preaching himself for years, fooling the people into doing something. And then he said to me after I preached this, you see, from a little different standpoint, and he's sincere, I mean with tears, he said, Brother Hagin, I wished I could believe that God wanted me to have something. And I thought to myself, I didn't say it, but I thought, well, now what kind of a God is your God? My father said to me, right here, we read it in Luke 15, all I have is thine. Now, he's not selfish. He's not going to keep it all for himself. He didn't provide it for himself. He said, it's yours. In other words, you wanted to have a feast? You didn't have to ask me. You wanted to kill a calf and have a feast, bless God, and invite your friends in? Go ahead. It's all yours. It's all yours. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, claim what you need or what you want. Then, I said, how do you do that? Well, I'd been praying, you know, and barely skimming by and not making it. And then it took about $150 a week for me to meet my budget. You know, that's nothing including anything extra. I mean, that's just skimming by. I pared it down, you know. I didn't spend a nickel for chewing gum or buy anything extra. I mean it's trimmed to the bone. Not just the fat trimmed off, but trimmed to the bone. You know what I mean? But it's still not being met. I'm still behind. So he said to me, it takes, you say, you know, I'd been praying, you know. You pray about it, but see, and I quit praying about money then back there in 1951. And so he said, I'm talking about for myself. Claim that. I said, how do you do that? You know, it's just new to me. He said, I claim $150 this week. I was in a little old church that ran 70 in Sunday school. That's all the kids and everybody, even the nursery. You know, that's everybody, you know. I'd been there the year before, and they gave me $57.15 a week. So you see, I went in the hole $100 each week I was there, approximately so. They gave me $114.30 for 2 weeks meeting. I need $150 a week just to meet my budget. Just to keep going, just keep percolating, see? Well, they thought they'd hung the moon by giving me $50, $57. You know, well, man, we went $7 over and 15 cents. Isn't that wonderful? They'd been shouting about it all the year. And they said, well, yeah, that would work. But if you had suggested to them that we pay the visiting evangelist or minister $75 a week, they'd have said, well, man, now that'd be a miracle. That would be a miracle. That would be a miracle. And if you'd suggested that they pay $100 a week, oh, well, now that's virtually impossible. Well, yeah, but with God, all things, well, yeah, God could do it all right. And if you had suggested $150 a week to pay the visiting preacher or evangelist, They'd have said, well, God himself couldn't do that. I mean, just forget it. Just forget it. It won't work. So the Lord said, you say, I claim $150. Well, I'm just going to be there 1 week, and this is right in the middle of the week when he's talking to him, because I've been fasting 3 days. This is the third day of my fast. And then he said, you say, Satan, take your hand off of my money. See, it's not God. We've been trying to get God to do something. It's down here.
Amen.
It's down here. Satan, take your hands off of my money. He's the one that's holding you back, not God. Then you say, and this was new to him. In fact, every one of them was new. Every thought here was new to me. I mean, it's revelation. I never heard anybody say it. Never read it out of a book. I got it in my spirit, waiting on God. You say, go ministering spirits and cause the money to come. Ministering spirits? Yeah, he said, put the angels to work for you. Whoever thought of that? We sure never. We're too busy, you know, talking about what the devil's doing. I said to the Lord, yes, put the angels to work. Yeah, he said, did you read over there in the book of Hebrews where it said angels are ministering spirits? Yeah, I said, I knew there's ministering spirits. Sent to minister for those that are heirs of salvation. Well, I grabbed my Bible and I thought the Lord's misquoting it. I always thought that said too. Didn't you? I thought it did. I thought he said the angels were ministering spirits sent to minister to. That means to me.
Yeah.
But it says for me.
Amen.
Amen. Minister for me. That means they're going to do something for me. Is that right? But what are they going to do? The Lord said to me, like you go into the restaurant, you see a cafe, and the waitress comes there to wait on you, to minister for you. Well, what if you just went there and sat and never did tell them anything? They wouldn't bring you anything. So the angel has been standing around for years. I mean, they've been standing around doing nothing because we didn't tell them to. Now, you know, I know immediately, bless their hearts, I can just hear some religious folks say the very idea, thinking you could tell the angel something. Well, don't you tell them anything then, and they won't do anything. But mine's been working real vigorously on my behalf. Glory to God. Amen. Say, go, ministering spirits, and cause the money to come. Well, now here's something we need to see. There is the work of angels. They are sent, ministering spirits, sent to minister for those who are the heirs of salvation. I said, well, now you mean angels are going to go out, you know, and influence people to give then? Because go ministering spirits and cause the money to come. I thought the Holy Ghost was going to do that. But you know, if you'll go back and read what Jesus said the Holy Ghost would do, it's when he comes, a different thing entirely. I don't have time to go back and read that, but you can in the 16th chapter of John's Gospel, see? And so the Lord said to me, now, you know this, don't you? That evil spirits influence people to do bad. Not just Satan himself, the devil, but evil spirits are ever present to influence people to do bad, to do evil. Isn't that right? Well, then he said, then angels are also spirits, active in the spirit realm. They influence people to do good. Can you see it? Can you see where we missed it? Amen. There's real truth there. I remember the first time I did it. Man, I'll be honest with you. I know what Paul meant. He said to the Corinthians over there, said, I came unto you in fear and trembling. Now, that don't mean that you're afraid like you're afraid of a rattlesnake or a tornado, but there's just a holy awe. I mean, my knees shook. They almost knocked one against another. I knew it would work because I'd just come from the presence of God, you see. But I remember I got up from the place of prayer because I'd been kneeling, you know, and I remember the first time I said it. I knew that you couldn't hardly keep them looking at the enemies, you know. I knew that church. Like I said, I'd preached there the year before. They thought they hung the moon when they gave me $57. And so I said, I claim $150 this week. My head said, you'll never get it. Did you ever have any trouble with your head? Huh? I just ignored it. Just paid no attention to it. I claim $150 this week. Satan, I said, take your hand off of my money. Ministering spirits, go and cause the money to come. Now, if I receive revelation from God, now listen real carefully, and you'll learn something that'll bless you and help you. See, a lot of times folks will receive some kind of revelation. They never try it out. They never prove it with the word or prove it by experience. They run out and begin to preach it or tell it, you see, and it don't work for them or anybody else. First of all, whatever kind of revelation you get, look into the word. And of course, the Lord had already given me scripture. Then secondly, prove it by experience. Because if it don't work for you, it won't work for anybody else. And you haven't got any business going out preaching something that you don't live yourself. Amen. 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 Not a bit of good in the world. And so, I said to the pastor then. Now, I'm not trying to tell you what to do, but I said, you see, it was a custom of this church. I knew this. See, this was Wednesday now, the middle of the week. They had passed the plate and taken up an offering on Tuesday. It was their custom. They take up an offering for the evangelist or the visiting speaker Tuesday, Friday night, and Sunday night. The other nights they pass the plate, take up an offering, just general expense for the church because they're out advertising and keeping the evangelist and feeding the evangelist. And, you know, they're out all the expenses, you see. And so they just pass the plate. I knew from experience because the year before I was there, and on Sunday night, the pastor spent, see, because you're really there 2 weeks. You see, you started on a Sunday night. And then the next Sunday night, and then the next Sunday night, they really made a pool for an offering, see. And he spent from 45 minutes to an hour and a half trying to get people to give, you see. And I said to him, now I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I'm going to ask you this, please. Don't do anything except just pass the plate. Now, don't misunderstand me. I know, but I was proving something. I know I've had God to lead me to take up. I've been just as anointed to take up a pledge offering, had just as much power and anointing on me as I had to minister to the sick. God will anoint you sometime to do some things like that. I know. I said, I know. Yet, this is a different thing. I'm proving something out, you see. I said, don't make any pull for any money. Don't say any more than this, that this offering is Brother Higgins. We're going to pass the plate and receive the offering now. Now he said, Brother Higgins, if I do that, you won't get over a quarter. Well, I said, if I don't, I won't say a word about it. I'll just go my way rejoicing. Now, if you want me to do it that way, I'll do it. But I'll just tell you, and I said, these people are programmed differently, and it just won't work. I said, that's the way I want you to do it. If I don't get but a dime, or if nothing comes in, I won't say a word. I'll just go my way. You just get up and say, this offering is Brother Hagin. He's been here now all the week, so the offering's his tonight. Pass the plates. Are you sure? He said, see, I didn't tell him anything. Now, I said, that's the way I want you to do it. All right, but said, you won't get anything. Well, I said, that's okay. Well, then, the meeting got to going pretty good, you see. This is Wednesday when the Lord spoke to him and I told him. But on Friday, he said, Brother Ann, could you stay an extra day or two, you know? I said, well, I was going to take the week off and then go down to Alabama for a meeting. But I could preach through Wednesday night and then go on down there. Go back home for one day and then go down. Well, he said, go on through Wednesday night. So then I changed it. I said, I claim $200. That's just going to meet my expenses. You know, they just passed the plate, and I had $242.15. They just gave the money to you. You know, they didn't take time to, if there's any checks there, they cash them, just give you the money. He said, this beats anything I've ever seen in my life. We've never done anything like this. And you know, back there for a long while, even before I started preaching, I practiced it over a period of, I purposely went to country churches. Amen. Little old bitty churches. Purposely, on purpose. Not because it's necessarily led of God, I wanted to prove something. And I never did start preaching until after I'd proved it out over a year's period. Actually, almost 2 years really. Before I ever started preaching it, see, until I'd proved it. And I'd purposely go to these little churches and I'd tell the pastor, now don't make any pull for money. Just pass the plate. I'm not telling you how much, you know, whatever you're used to doing. Well, he said, we ordinarily take an offering up for the visiting speaker on Tuesday night and Friday night and Sunday night, but now we're so glad you came. We're just going to pass the plate every night. I said, well, say as little about it as you can. Just say this is Brother Hagin's offering. Don't make any pull. Well, now, Brother Hagin, you won't get a quarter. I said, oh, good, fine, but I will. And I just had the biggest time you've ever seen in your lifetime. I went down to that little old church in Alabama. And I didn't know a thing or word about it, but they had 72 in Sunday school. That's kids, nursery, and babies, everybody. And I got in there about midnight, and I'm sitting on the platform, you know, pastor, after preaching. I said, oh, no, I've driven all day, you know, and half the night, and you go ahead and preach this morning, I'll start the revival tonight. He introduced me, and I said a few words, but I'm sitting up there, and he's preaching, and the devil said, boy, you really played it now. You've come way off down here in Alabama, you won't get enough money. Look at that poor bunch. You won't get enough money to get back home. You won't get enough money to buy gasoline, and you could buy it pretty cheap in those days, you know, to get back home. But you have to hold steady. You can't be moved by feelings. You can't get your eyes on the enemy. He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. See, right in the presence of want, right in the presence of, it looks like the lack of finances, right in the presence of sickness, right in the presence of the devil, right in the presence of demons. Sure, they're present. He said they're present. The enemies are present. They're all around there. But they don't have no right up to Father's table. They can't get up there. So quit looking at them, bless God, and look at the table. So I just sat there and said, I claim $150. See, I'm going to be there 2 weeks. That's what I went for. I really stayed three. I'm claiming $150 each week. Satan, you take your hand off my money. Go ministering spirits and cause the money to come. Then I said to the pastor, don't make any pull for money for me. I'm not going to tell you what to do, whatever your custom is, but when you take an offering up from me, just pass the plate and say, this is Brother Hagin's. Well, now, Brother Hagin, you won't get anything. I said, that's okay. That's okay. You just do what I tell you to do. See, he didn't know what I'd done. Nobody else did. Well, you know, we got to going real good, and he said, could you stay another week? Yeah, I said, I can arrange where I can stay another week. And so I wound up, see, I'd claimed $150. I wound up with the 3 weeks with $750 and a brand new set of tires on my car. Amen. Amen. I remember I went to a church, and I wouldn't tell the pastors. They'd ask me, well, what does it take for you to, you know, to get by? And I said, well, the Lord knows. I wouldn't tell people. And if I happen to let something slip to a pastor, I've asked a number of pastors to forgive me. If I happen to let something slip, if the money wasn't coming right at first, or maybe the first week, and then I've gone back to pastor and said, I want to ask your forgiveness. I can't talk unbelief, you see. Well, I didn't know you said anything, see, because he just... I said, well, I do in my own spirit. You have to keep your spirit clear. I know whether you understand what I'm saying or not. And so I remember I went to this church, and he kept after me. And I said, no, I never tell anybody what I need. I mean, I'm just, the Lord's my source, and I trust him. And well, yeah, but we're so glad you came, and we want to do right by you. Now, what does it take for you to, you know, to, we want to at least meet your minimum amount of what it takes for you to get by. Finally, I said to him one night, we'd eat. I stayed in a motel, but we'd have something to eat in the parsonage every night after church. And he just kept at me, and I said, well, it takes $150 a week for me to meet my budget. That poor fella, he was right in the middle of eating, he just started spitting it out. I mean, he got choked. And he finally come up fair, and he said, Brother Hagin? Well, he said, the most we've ever paid any evangelist or guest speaker is $90 a week. And I had to pull for 45 minutes, you know, just keep begging people. Who'll give another dollar? Who'll give five? Who'll give a quarter? Who'll give $90? We might make $100 now, but we couldn't possibly. I saw right away, you know, I said, dear brother, now don't bother about it. Just don't bother about it. I see you couldn't believe for it, so just stay neutral. You know, did you ever try to push a car that's in gear?
Yeah.
You can't do it. But if you can get it in neutral, you can't see. Well, if you got all these people in negativism, you got to push the whole thing, brother, and it's tough. So I said, don't try to believe anything. Just think as little as you can about it. Stay neutral. If I can get people to stay neutral, just stay neutral. I said, I'll believe God, and when the meeting's over, we might not do it the first week, but I'll have my budget met. Because he had been doing it now for over a year, you see, longer than over a year. And so I was close enough that I had to go back. Well, I did. We didn't have a Saturday service. I taught Monday through Friday, 10 in the morning, 7:30 at night. Saturday's an off day. So Friday night after church, I drove home. I was about 150 miles away. Spent Friday night, all day Saturday, and Sunday morning went to church with the family, and then drove back Sunday afternoon and picked up the revival, see. But when I got home, I found that some emergencies had arisen, and instead of needing $150 a week, I'm going to have $300 a week just to pay what I owe and skim by. Well, I'm preaching there, so I'll have to add it to that. That's where I is right now. And so I got back, and we preached Sunday night. We were out having a sandwich, you know, and he said, Brother Hagin, and the church is not large, you know, 100 and some odd. I think 138 in Sunday school. We're having more people at nighttime because people come and visit from other churches. But he said, here's the offering. Just gave it to me. He said, I'm sorry, I've counted twice. But it's the biggest we've ever got. There's $125 there and some odd cents, 94 cents, I believe it was. That's the most we've ever done. I wanted us to get the 150, but we didn't. I said, don't let it bother you, brother. Don't let it bother you. When the meeting's over, see, because we planned to go the second week and finally wound up going the third week. I said, when the meeting's over, I will have my budget. But incidentally, I said, since going home, I found out I need $300 a week. Oh, why, he said that 125 is the most we've ever done. Why, he said, you can't get no $300 a week here. I said, brother, just stay neutral. Stay neutral. I'm sorry I said it now. But I said, when the meeting's over, I'll have the money. Boy, I sure hope so, but I don't know where it's coming from. Well, I said, you just stay neutral. Now, we went on the third week. And when the meeting was over, I had in those 3 weeks $1,050 plus a new suit of clothes. Amen. Amen. I'd go from church to church. What God was trying to do, he told me back then, stand church, he is trying to get these pastors to see if they'll just believe. And you know, there wasn't one out of a dozen got a hold of it. They thought, well, that worked for Brother Hagin, but you know, he just has an extraordinary faith. Boy, I wished I had faith like that. No. Same word will work for them or for you that works for me.
Amen.
I mean, he didn't say he's prepared a table before Brother Hagin in the presence of all of his enemies. No, thank God, that belongs to all of us. The Lord isn't just my shepherd, he's your shepherd.
Amen.
The Father God isn't just my Father, he's your Father.
Amen.
Find out what he has.
Amen.
Because he said, son, that means daughter too, all I have is thine. Well, we're going to get it when we get to heaven. They weren't in heaven there, were they? I said, were they? Because there ain't no harlots in heaven. That fellow spent all of his money on harlots, his brother said. Oh, yeah, there's a lot of people that used to be harlots, but they're not anymore. They're saints of God. I said, they're saints of God.
Amen.
That's what the power of God will do for you. It'll change you from a criminal to a law-abiding citizen.
Amen.
Amen. Isn't that right?
Amen.
I said, isn't that right?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. What belongs to you? Amen. Everything on the table. All that the Father has. Praise God. Say it out loud. All that the Father has,
is mine.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Healing is the children's bread.
Healing is the children's bread.
Say it again.
I'm a child of God.
Healing belongs to me.
Healing belongs to me.
Blessed be his holy name. Hallelujah. Praise God.